Welcome, players.
You're welcome.
Are you up for more Maller mayhem?
Yeah!
It's time now. Benny versus the Penny.
That it is. We are back at it in another weekend of NFL predictions for you from us. Absolutely free. No number to call. No amount of money. We're not going to ask for your credit card. None of that. It is free handicapping advice from an amateur who's been doing this for many, many, many years. Trying not to trip over my tongue. Week five in the NFL. We will not talk about the Miami Dolphins. We will not talk about the Detroit Lions because they are both not playing. They have the bye week this week. But before we get ahead, we must look back. Now, David Gascon is with me. He doesn't say much during this. He doesn't like this podcast. He doesn't talk very much. Maybe today he'll talk more on Benny versus the Penny. He's the voice of the Penny. So how did we do last week against the spread, David Gascon?
And you've been lights out, Ben. 12 up and just 3 down in week number 4.
And might I add, not to pat myself on the back, I went 8-0. I believe, in the early television room. Yeah. I didn't get one wrong. In fact, my guy, a longtime Maller militia man, Supermarket Steve, who I consider him a friend because I've met him in person, him and his wife there, and a wonderful time. But Supermarket Steve, who actually has the Maller brand on his name tag at the grocery store he works at, he hit Gascon a 5-team parlay.
Oh, man.
Based off our picks from last week. How cool is that?
That's pretty awesome.
He won like a grand on a $50 bet hitting a 5-team parlay.
That's pretty good.
How wonderful is that?
Now, which games did you lose big on? I think Dallas was the...
I like how you're focusing on the negative. Well, I like that. I lost the Monday night. I picked the Bengals because I'm an idiot.
Right.
I didn't think Pittsburgh's that good, but I didn't realize the Bengals were that bad. Now I do. And they seemed uninterested. The Cowboy game I got wrong. That was embarrassing. Dak Prescott all of a sudden is back to being Dak Prescott. And then the other one was the Viking game.
Right.
I was wrong on that. But that's it. Other than that, every game we got right.
Man, when I woke up and I started looking at these games, all of a sudden you started hitting. It's similar to week one, and it's also similar to week number three. So you've been carving it up.
Yeah, in fact, my record, I did the math because I know you wouldn't give me any credit. My season total, we've picked 63 NFL games on radio or on the podcast because I do the Thursday game on radio. And out of those 63, we are 43-20. That is a .683 winning percentage against the spread documented. That's nuts.
I'm going to get you in the Hall of Fame.
It's not going to last, right? I mean, this is I don't particularly like the card this week. I liked last week a lot. I don't love the card this week. I feel like they've adjusted the point spreads enough, and it's kind of one of those things like a seesaw. You know, I'm going back and forth on a number of the games, which I don't like. And my experience also with picking these NFL games is that oftentimes, in the early TV window, I'll be winning a couple of bets, and then a couple games will turn around in the fourth quarter and I'll lose, and then I'll win a couple of games that I'm losing. You know, normally that's what happens. It's very chaotic, that last half hour, last hour of the early television window, and there's a bunch of games ending and all that stuff. But last week was wonderful. All right, let's get to the games. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, first game up, Baltimore. 2-2 at Pittsburgh, 0-3. Actually, 1-3, rather. They won Monday night, so they're 1-3. This game is on CBS. Ian Eagle, whose kid is now the voice of the Clippers, and he just graduated from Syracuse. I know Gascon's happy about that. And Dan Fouts. They were going to broadcast this game on CBS. The Ravens opened a 3-point favorite. They are a 3.5-point favorite. It'll be light rain, temperatures in the mid-60s at Heinz Field at kickoff. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. And this is one of those games I went back and forth on. I am not a believer in Lamar Jackson. I know he was handed the MVP number one after he sliced up the Dolphins and turned them into sushi. Unfortunately, the season did not end for Lamar Jackson. And that is the only game the Ravens will play with the Dolphins, because Lamar Jackson rather quietly has gotten less productive pretty much every game. Last 3 weeks, his passer rating combined is 89.3. That ain't great. And he's averaged less than 7 yards per attempt over the last 3 games. So the numbers were inflated because of that Miami game, which I understand. You know, against bad teams, you inflate the numbers. But he has put up garden variety numbers, Lamar Jackson. Now, John Harbaugh's team is looking to bounce back after that embarrassment against Cleveland. And normally I like teams in a bounce-back situation and the Steelers coming off a win and all that. But I looked it up, and the Ravens have only a 500 record under John Harbaugh as a road favorite. That ain't all that good. And when you're favored on the road. Secondly, if this game was in Baltimore, I could be swayed to take the Ravens, but it's in Pittsburgh. That matters. And even a ramshackled Mason Rudolph, a.k.a. Captain Checkdown, he will be good enough. Just don't make the big mistake. And the Ravens, I mean, the dirty little secret here is the Ravens, because they used to be great on defense, people still think they're great on defense. They're not. The last 3 weeks, this blew me away. This is my main reason for taking the Steelers over the Ravens and getting points as a home dog. The last 3 weeks, again, after the Miami game, the Baltimore Ravens defensively have allowed 395 yards per game. That is dead last in the NFL. They are the worst team in the NFL the last 3 weeks allowing yards. Now, they did play Kansas City. That is fair. But they played Cleveland in that stretch and Arizona. I mean, come on. So, final score. Steelers, 26. Ravens, 23.
Penny likes you. They'll go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Tremendous insight from the Penny and from Gascon on this particular game. Good job by you.
It's just all about you with Benny versus the Penny.
All right, Chicago at Oakland. The Bears, 3-1. The Raiders, 2-2. This game is being played in London. It's a Raider home game, so they're playing it in London. It is on Fox. You better watch. You know who's calling this game? Did you see?
Is it Dick Stockton?
Yes, our guy Dick. Dick Stockton, they have sent him out of the country. He is in London. He will call Raiders-Bears with Mark Schlereth on Fox. Now, the Bears opened a 6-point favorite. That line is at 5.5 as we're doing this in real time. The forecast for Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London, where they're playing this game, rain showers, which is cliche for London, and also 56 degrees at kickoff. So they say. Now, the pick is in, and I am going to take the Raiders. Now, this is one of those where I got to cover my nose and whatnot, but I'm going to take the Raiders. The Bears should win this game by 30 points, first of all. I get it. I'm not against that. But strange things tend to happen in jolly old London. And the Raiders are coming off a very impressive win against Indy for them. And they are road warriors, right? Vagabonds around the NFL. And I understand the Bears have the top unit on the field here. The Bears defense is wonderful. And this is a Khalil Mack revenge game. You know he had, even though he's downplaying it, he had this game circled. I mean, right, Gascon? Can you imagine Khalil Mack, like how excited he was to see this on the schedule?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every year.
I mean, we've all lost jobs in this business, and we love to get revenge, right? Vengeance, pound of flesh. And this is Khalil Mack's opportunity to do that. And the Raiders are without Vontaze Burfict and a couple of other injuries there. But Chicago's going with Chase Daniel, which is not a real downgrade because Trubisky had been terrible. So I expect the Bears to run that remedial passing game and all that. And Mac should play a very good game, but you're talking about getting almost a touchdown, 5.5 points with a suspect offense in Chicago. And the Raiders have been playing above their level. They've outkicked their coverage, if you will, lately because they've been playing pretty well. The key for the Raiders here in this game is obviously to establish the run, which is seems to be near impossible. But if they want to keep this game close, Josh Jacobs is going to have to negate Khalil Mack and that pass rush. It's hard to be a good pass rushing team if you're running. And the other reason here, this is probably the main reason I'm taking the Raiders, is to be the contrarian. And one thing I've learned over the years, when the public bets a game one way, you want to go the other way. When they zig, you want to zag. And the public is absolutely hammering the Chicago Bears. The gambling market is all about the Bears. The line has, despite that, it hasn't skyrocketed. And that's the odd thing about this. I mean, from what the information I have access to, there's a ton of wagers on the Chicago Bears. It's one of the most bet games of the weekend. And yet, the line, which probably should be, you know, 7 or 8 or something like that, for in favor of Chicago because of their defense, is, again, at 5.5. So I'm going to say something fluky happens here. Those European biorhythms get messed up, and the Raiders keep it close. Bears will win the game, but it'll be close. Chicago 20, and the Raiders 17.
Penny going back-to-back occasions with you. Also going Derek Carr and the Raiders.
All right, next up on Benny versus the Penny, Arizona 0-3-1 at Cincinnati 0-4. If you would have asked me before we did this who is going to call this game, I would have said this is a Dick Stockton special, right? But he's not. He's obviously doing the game in London. This is a Tom Brenneman, Chris Spielman broadcast. It's on Fox. Now, at least Brenneman doesn't have to travel. He lives in Cincinnati, so he doesn't have to go on a plane. That's the positive there. The Bengals opened up a 4.5-point favorite. They are favored by 3.5. And with fall in the air, a rain will be in the air at kickoff at Paul Brown Stadium. 72 degrees and rain shower. You know what that is? Well, if it was a little colder, it would be good football weather. But it's football weather, like light rain falling. And that, right, Gascon?
Of course, yes. Not out here in Los Angeles. We see sprinkles and it's mass panic. But yes, it's football weather.
Yeah. All right, so that's the forecast. I am going to go with Alligator Arms, Kyler Murray, and Arizona this week. So I'm on the Cardinals plus 3.5. What a horrible matchup. Tom Brenneman, you talk about putting lipstick on a pig and putting perfume on a smelly goat with flies all over it. The Bengals started 4-1 last year. Did you know that? Under Marvin Lewis, they were 4-1 last year.
I did not remember that.
Yeah. Since then, they have played 15 games, and Cincinnati has gone 2-13. That is the worst record in the NFL since week 6 of last season. Nobody is worse. And in that same time, not to be outdone, the Arizona Cardinals are 2-12-1. So if it wasn't for the tie, they'd have the same exact record over the last last handful of games here. Arizona's the third worst team in the NFL record-wise here. So it's a horseshit matchup. Cincinnati was castrated by the Steelers. We referenced that game here a few minutes ago by a backup scrub quarterback who just threw short passes, and Cincinnati was bothered. They didn't want to play the game. They were annoyed they had to be there. They didn't tackle. They didn't play with any discipline. They were lethargic. They were uninterested. A lot of game quitters. You ever heard that term, game quitters?
No.
It's players who, to the untrained eye, seem like they are trying to win, have really given up. And the Bengals have a lot of guys, at least on that night, that did. And Arizona, the other thing here, Arizona's a bad football team, man. They are a bunch of bad hombres, and not in a good way. Kyler Murray has been nothing spectacular. He has not turned the NFL on its side like some were predicting. One guy in the NFL Network said he was going to have a Patrick Mahomes-like impact on the NFL. That guy should be fired. But this is a weekend where you would expect Kyler Murray to have some success. Why? The Bengals' defense is a bunch of loafers. All right, bunch of loafers. And these teams are essentially equals. Now, I realize Cincinnati, the bounce back, they're going to want to play better. They embarrass themselves. And this is a winnable game. And Andy Dalton's played very well against bad teams. I understand all that. But all things being equal, if it's two horseshit teams, right, in a craptastic classic, this would be the craptastic bowl, Gascon. I like getting the points. And so I actually believe Cincinnati is going to win the game, but this will be a late field goal. Bengals 13, Cardinals 12.
Is it Penny taking Arizona? Because the Penny did as well.
Well, no, I can win money. I mean, I think Arizona's going to lose, but they're two equal teams. I mean, you know, you think I just go out of my... Who cares about the Cardinals? I don't care about the Cardinals.
You care about
six people.
You care about Kyler Murray.
Well, I just point out his horrible play. That's it. And no one else brings that up.
It's amazing. Nobody else calls him an Oompa Loompa and alligator arms. And
what's wrong with that? Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. You publicly defecate on him during the overnight hours of Fox Sports Radio.
Listen, I was a fan of Mighty Mouse when I was a kid. I did.
Jesus.
It's kind of cool. You know what it is? It's inspirational that the NFL is allowing a Pop Warner-sized player to play. Because normally they have restrictions on that. If you're of a certain size, you can't play. But there he goes. Very diminutive. I like that's one of those. I like the terms people use when they want to say someone's short. They say he's diminutive,
Well, you can't say midget anymore. You can't call someone a dwarf.
A dwarf? You can do that. No,
I guess it's politically incorrect now to say that.
What a petite? You can say that shrimp. Pocket-sized, pint-sized.
Pocket-sized.
He's the pocket-sized quarterback. Oh. The teeny weeny itty bitty little quarterback.
Wow, you're an asshole. Let's go.
All right, but anyway, moving on. Let's get trivial. You want to get trivial?
Yeah.
All right, Carolina Panthers quarterback Kyle Allen just became the third quarterback in the Super Bowl era to win his first three career starts on the road. He joined Patrick Mahomes and blank. And the answer to Let's Get Trivial. Coming up in a couple minutes. You might want to write that down. We'll get to that coming up in a minute. Jacksonville at Carolina. Jags 2-2. Panthers 2-2. It's on CBS. With Andrew Catalan and James Lofton, the Panthers opened a 3-point favorite. The line is currently at 3.5 as we're doing this in real time. The line could change, but it's at 3.5 right now. The forecast at Bank of America Stadium, cloudy. And 78 degrees at kickoff, so no weather being a factor in this game. The pick is in. I'm taking Jacksonville. I like Minshew mania. My guy, Gardner Minshew. I have a thing for accurate quarterbacks, and he has been one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. This was always the argument for Jacksonville in the Blake Bortles era, was that if only Blake Bortles would not be so ignorant and turn the ball over and be so unaware, Jacksonville could win a bunch of games. And they rarely did because he was rarely able to do that. But so far, all Gardner Minshew has really done is just be accurate on short passes and not turn the ball over, and Jacksonville has won their last couple of games. It's amazing how that works. Now, I know it's only a small sample size. He is third in the NFL in accuracy. It's 78%, according to the NFL research on his throws. 78% of his throws are accurate. Now, that's not his completion percentage, but some of those are drop passes that bring the percentage down. And he has only thrown one pass, according to NFL statistics, NFL stats, that has been deemed interceptable. Only one. And so Jacksonville's now gone 26 consecutive drives without a turnover. That is the second longest active streak in the NFL. So I love that about Jacksonville. I think that continues here. Some people are very excited about Carolina. They play better lately. I am not all in on the Panthers. I do like Kyle Allen. Talked about him, did a monologue on him on the radio show. I've been impressed, and he has defied expectations. I thought this guy would be pretty bad. He's been wonderful. I actually like him. But the reason to take Jacksonville is that Saxonville defense and the one bugaboo for Kyle Allen. He doesn't make a lot of bad throws either. He's pretty accurate as far as his passes. But he does have small hands, apparently, because he has 5 fumbles in 2 games of playing this season, which is a lot. And so you figure Jacksonville will be able to get to him. And then a fumble or two, that can turn the game on its side. But I like getting Jacksonville plus over a field goal. Jags will win the game outright in Carolina, 27-26 over the Panthers.
Pan going the other way, going with the Carolina Panthers.
Would you grow a mustache like Gardner Minshew?
I would, yeah. I don't know if I can, though. My facial hair goes all over the place. I got a good beard. Goatee, yeah. But I don't know about a mustache.
Yeah, you had the beard for a while.
Yeah.
People were giving you change because we thought we were homeless at work.
I grow a great beard.
You smelled, you had a beard, and yeah.
I smell fantastic.
Why, if you can grow a beard, why wouldn't you be able to throw a mustache or grow a mustache?
Well, there's a way to grow a mustache and there's a way to grow a mustache. Like Gardner Minshew has a fantastic mustache. My dad has a good one. Tom Selleck has a good one. Jeff Kent had a great one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Your dad, I mean, I've not met your dad, but I've seen photos of him. And when he was running the LAPD, man, he had the biggest burly mustache. I mean, my God, you got his DNA, unless you were adopted. I mean, you've got the DNA, man.
You know what I need? I need like a Val Kilmer from Tombstone mustache when he played Doc Holliday.
That's your move there?
That's a great mustache.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you grow a mustache like that?
No. I do not have that ability. I can't even really grow a beard.
Yeah, you got a lot of gray in your goatee.
What?
You have a lot of gray in your goatee.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
And that's salt and pepper. It's not gray. My wife told me it's salt and pepper. That's what she told me.
And your face is pale white, so it almost looks like you have no facial hair.
Wow.
So... like we could
I didn't
get
realize
you.
It was the asshole segment on the podcast. I didn't know. Is that on your list? Is that in your production
meeting?
So we
can do the hair club for men with your goatee and mustache. Let's do this.
You going to serve me ranch dressing now? Is that what you're going to do?
We can do that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get trivial. The answer, Panthers quarterback Kyle Allen became the third quarterback in the Super Bowl era to win his first three career starts. On the road, he joins Patrick Mahomes and blank. All right, go ahead, Gaskin.
I'm going to say Tom Brady.
No, not Tom Brady.
No.
Want to try again?
Ben Roethlisberger.
No. This actually goes back to the 1980s. Jeff Hostetler.
Oh, shit. That was on my mind, too.
No, it was not
on
your
mind. I swear to God. You're talking about mustaches? Yes.
No. Jeff Hostetler.
The Giants.
The Giants, yeah. And he was. That's one of the great backup stories in my youth, that Jeff Hostetler broke out. And Phil Simms got hurt. Everyone wrote off the Giants with Parcells, and Hostetler played pretty well. Although I don't know how good he actually was. My memory is he played well. I don't know if he was actually that good.
Yeah.
But a long time ago. Our memories, what we remember and what actually happened are often two different things. That's why in court, if you convict someone off eyewitness testimony, a little shaky, in my opinion.
Wow.
A little shaky. All right, Minnesota. Yeah, I have more than that. Minnesota 2-2 at the New York Giants 2-2. It's on Fox. You better watch. Sam Rosen, who lives in the New York area, doesn't have to get on a plane. And Charles Davis, the voice of Madden football. And they call this game. Now, the Vikings opened up 5.5-point favorites. This line has stayed the same. So Minnesota is a 5.5-point road favorite. This game will be played at MetLife Stadium, mostly cloudy in New Jersey, and 68 degrees at kickoff there in the tri-state area for Giants and Vikings. The pick is in. I'm taking the Giants. I went back and forth in this game. Kirk Cousins and the passing offense is in such a sad state of affairs. The guy's issuing mea culpas on his radio show. I struggled. Went back and forth. This was a cover your eyes and say eeny, meeny, miny, mo type of game for me. But ultimately, I landed on the underdog. When in doubt, I often throw the underdog out. And I'm on the side of New York. The Giants are not as good as the Vikings. The Vikings should win this game. But Cousins... gun shy, he's got the yips. Plus, it's hard to cover a spread like this on the road. It is difficult. And secondly, the main concern with the Giants is that defense. It is no good. It sucks. It's chopped liver. It's minced meat and all that. The Vikings are a half of a good team, right? And the half that they're good at is the defense. Mike Zimmer is a master. He's a maestro defensively. And I would imagine that he's going to cause a lot of issues for Danny Dimes, and that is going to be a problem here for Daniel Jones. And he's a guy that has a bugaboo of putting the bug on the rug. He fumbles a lot. That's his MO. And that limits your ability to swashbuckle. So even though Kirk Cousins has been feasting on bad teams in his career, and I believe the Giants are a bad team, I got to see it to believe it. And so, like the Giants, as a home dog, I'm on that side. And also betting against the public, because the public is loading up on the Vikings. So I believe Minnesota will win this game, but they won't cover the spread. Vikings 30, Giants 26.
Penny also likes Daniel Jones going with the Giants.
All right, next up, New England at Washington. 4-0 versus 0-4. It's on CBS with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green. Did you see that audio that Funhouse had about Gumbel a couple weeks ago?
Well, there's some audio that you sent me. Is that the same thing from WFAN?
Yeah, from WFAN. Where the overnight guy, the Schmooze, I believe is his name there, and he went on a rant about what a dick Greg Gumbel was.
Yeah.
And how much. I mean, it was hilarious. It was wonderful radio. I've never met Gumbel, but he does seem like that kind of a guy, you know.
Really?
Yeah, the vibe I get from him, right? No, you
no.
Disagree?
I guess it's just two different. I mean, the brothers, Brian Gumbel, got a lot of flack for his calls on the NFL Network when it first started on Thursday night. But Brian Gumbel, I remember he called a lot of NBA games too, especially back in the mid-90s. I always thought he was just a regular guy.
Well, Brian Gumbel, this is Greg we're talking about, but Brian Gumbel, he does the HBO thing, right? Whatever that show on HBO
is. Yes.
And I would always say, what a douchebag, because he would have those reading glasses on.
Yeah.
And he did it for effect, and I was like, what an asshole. You know? I mean, he made it seem like he was surprised by something he had just read, when you know that's all choreographed and scripted, and it's all planned out by producers and all that stuff, but. Anyway, get back to the game. New England and Washington. Patriots opened a 13-point favorite. They are favored by 15.5. The forecast calls for mostly cloudy, 73 degrees at kickoff at FedEx Field. Now, this is another one of those games where logic you have to throw out as a gambler. Right? Occasionally this has to happen. I'm taking the Washington Redskins. Don't tell anybody. Don't bet the game, but I'm taking the Redskins. Now, the NFL needs to hire Woodsy the Owl to give the Redskins a pep talk. You want to know why they need to hire Woodsy the Owl to give the Redskins a pep talk?
Tell me.
Because, by the way, what were you doing? Were you surprised I went to you?
Yeah, of course. This is the Benny versus the Penny segment. So oftentimes it's all about 99% Ben, 1%
wow.
Penny.
You want to have a hissy fit longer? Or are you done with your little temper tantrum? I mean, you feel free to chime in, yes, Scott. I mean, it doesn't have to be like this, but no. But Woodsy the Owl, when I was a kid, I remember his slogan, his catchphrase was "Give a hoot, don't pollute."
Yeah, that's right.
And the Redskins have polluted the NFL pretty much every week here, throwing trash all around the field with their pathetic play. So they need Woodsy the Owl to give him some advice here. We don't even know who's playing quarterback as we're doing this for Washington. They don't even know. It might be Colt McCoy. It could be Dwayne Haskins. Maybe even Case Keenum, at least at the time we're doing this, have all been mentioned. That said, it doesn't really matter. Now, Haskins, if it's Haskins, I would not bet on the Redskins. All right, so, but if it's not, I believe it'll be Colt McCoy. He can do enough in garbage time. You got to take Washington getting over two touchdowns at home. And the other thing, the Patriots, their defense is wonderful, historically good. I get all that. In fact, New England and the 2012 Chicago Bears, the only teams since 2000 with 15 or more sacks and 10 or more interceptions in the first four games. So they are off to an amazing start. But the stats say that Washington, you know, they're going to have problems on offense. Again, I understand that. Patriots have been wonderful at beating up bad teams. But to me, this is a go-through-the-motions type of week. Cutting corners, even a Belichick team, coming off a win against Buffalo. Plus, we've got peekaboo for the Patriots, right? Will they get caught peeking ahead because they play in week six Thursday night football? You know what that means, Gascon?
Trap game.
Well, not necessarily trap game, but you got to play a game in 4 days. So you're already thinking ahead to that game. You're not fully focused on the job, the task at hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope anyway. They play Danny Dimes and the Giants the next week. Now, there's no chance the Redskins win this game. This will be the 18th time in NFL history that a 4-0 team will match up against an 0-4 team. The 4-0 team has a 15-2 record. When is the last time? Pick a year, Gascon. This is not official question. When's the last time an 0-4 team beat a 4-0 team?
I'm going to say 1993.
No. Go back further.
Oh, 88?
Nope. 1975.
Ooh.
The 0-4 Green Bay Packers of 1975 beat the Dallas Cowboys. Who was playing quarterback for the Cowboys? You were a kid in 1975. Who was playing quarterback for the Cowboys? Was that
I wasn't even
Staubach?
Born. 75, was it, or who was the, was it Morton?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But anyway, final score. I'm going to close my eyes, cover my ears, and shut my mouth. Take the double-digit home dog, even a bad team. Patriots, 26. Redskins, 13.
Oh, man, that is dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Let's go see what the Penny says here. Penny likes... Oh, Penny's going with the Patriots on this one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. That's a lot of chalk. Don't choke on the chalk.
But just think about what you've done early this season. You've backed Miami twice with two bad quarterbacks, and now you're backing the Skins with three bad quarterbacks on the roster.
By the way, I was right. Roger Staubach was the quarterback of the Cowboys in 1975.
Wait, you were at what, 18, 19 at the time?
What?
You were 18, 19 years of age at the time?
Are you having a stroke? Are you okay? Is everything all right? That was Tom Landry for the he was the Cowboy coach, and Bart Starr was coaching the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, wow. The great Bart Starr.
Green Bay had John Hadle as their quarterback against Roger Staubach. And Staubach was terrible. He in that game, I'm looking at the box score here, 16 of 31, 201 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. He had a passer rating of 58.7.
That's horrific.
And ironically, the Packer quarterback was even worse, but he had a touchdown pass. So,
what other notable figures were in that game? Running backs or wide receivers?
Who else do we have? Some names that have stood the test of time. Preston Pearson. There's a blast from the past. He was the running back for the Cowboys. The Packers, that was a bad era of Packer football. That was like in between Lombardi, and then they became good again with Brett Favre and whatnot. But I don't recognize any of these names on Green Bay. I mean, John Hadle's the only one that I recognize. That's it. I'm also looking at some of these other Cowboys. Golden Richards.
Never heard of him.
I heard Drew Pearson. I've heard of him. Yeah. You heard of Drew Pearson?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, moving on. It is Benny versus the Penny, man versus metal, man versus coin. Let's get trivial. Which NFL coach had the ninth best record in his first 22 games as a coach, only to have the 35th best record after the next 29 games of his coaching career? Did you understand that, Gascon?
Yes, and I have the answer for you. Is it Wayne Fonts?
Well, no, you have to wait. You have no patience.
What?
You have to wait, okay?
Why do I have to wait?
I'll give you the answer because I to call the tease. It's a podcast tease.
Okay? Oh.
All right, anyway. Jets, 0-3. They had the bye week. Philadelphia, 2-2. It's on CBS. Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon have the call. Now, the line on this game, Philly opened a 13-point favorite. They are favored now by 2 touchdowns, 14 points at Lincoln Financial Field. The forecast calls for 71 degrees, mostly cloudy, no rain at kickoff in Philly. This is another one of those games, as a gambler, you have to be the contrarian. You have to go against the public occasionally. And everyone is loaded up on Philly because of their performance. There's an overreaction. The pendulum has swung too far because of their performance against the Packers. And we were on Philly against the Packers last week, but I'm not on them. I'm going to take the Jets here reluctantly. Carson Wentz played wonderfully, not statistically great, but that he had many big passes. The Eagles actually won the game on the ground, though. They annihilated the Packer front line. They won the game in the trenches. Their offensive line for Philly badly outplayed the Green Bay defensive line. And listen, I get the Jets are a bad team, but they are better against the run than Green Bay, for whatever that's worth, and you're going to be up against Carson Wentz to cover a massive number, and he has been spotty. I think of him as an above-average quarterback, but he has not been consistently good. He's gotten off to some slow starts in some of these games. He's been a bit of a castaway on a deserted island at times, and he's also had to deal with the incompetence of his receiving core. 13 dropped passes from Philadelphia pass catchers. That is the most of any quarterback in the NFL after the first 4 weeks. Shout out Nelson Aguilar. Secondly, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Jets are going to win this game. They simply have to hustle. They have to work hard and compete. If they do that, you're not going to lose by two touchdowns. Now, Philly has to prove to me that they are not sandbagging. This looks like a sandbagging kind of go-through-the-motion situation here. They struggle against a bad team early in the year, the Redskins. They struggle against a bad team, the Falcons. They lost that game on the road. They also lost at home to the Lions. So I put the Redskins, obviously they're worse than those teams, but they're in that same category, or the Jets, rather. The Jets are bad. Luke Falk, who apparently is going to play, although I guess there's a chance. At the time we're doing this, they say Sam Darnold could still play. I've not seen that he's not. Maybe he will not play. But as we're recording the podcast, they say it's likely going to be Luke Falk who's going to play. And there's also C.J. Mosley, banged up, a key player who's missed three straight games. And I guess he's missed two. He might miss his third straight game with injury there for the Jets. But, I mean, the recipe here is to try to jumpstart Le'Veon Bell. And if he plays well and scores a couple of touchdowns, that's all it's going to take for the Jets to hang around. I don't trust Luke Falk. He sucks. He shouldn't be playing quarterback in the NFL. The Jets are 0-2 when scoring a non-offensive touchdown this year, which is odd because I think they have to score on special teams and defense and whatnot. They're 0-2. The rest of the NFL is 12-2. In that scenario. So Eagles will win this game, but they will not cover the number. Philly, 30. The Jets, 17.
Ugly. Penny's going with the Eagles.
You ever been to a Philadelphia Eagles game in Philly?
No, I've always wanted to go to Philadelphia. I've been there one time, and I was actually on the eve of the Super Bowl when they beat the Patriots a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was in Philly before, but I was during baseball season with the Dodgers, and we went to, you know, the Phillies games. But I have not been to the Eagles. I love that complex though they have now in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I mean, it's all right. The basketball, baseball, football teams are all right next to each other. It's pretty neat.
Have you been to a Sixers game or a Flyers game?
I have not.
No,
I've only been to Phillies games, and I love the Fanatic and all that. I've not. My friend Lee Klein, the Prince of Darkness, used to live in Philly, and he was an Eagles season ticket holder back at the Vet, back in the day. So he's told some, he's regaled me in some stories about being an Eagle season ticket holder back in the day. Let's get trivial. The answer, the question just a couple minutes ago: which NFL coach had the ninth best record after his first 22 games, only to have the 35th best record after the next 29 games of his coaching career?
I'm going to go with Bobby Ross.
Bobby Ross. No, that's not a bad guess because Bobby Ross was good with the Chargers. And then he coached the Lions and was a mess. The answer, I was in an elevator with Bobby Ross one time in San Diego. I was at a Padre game. This is a true story. I'm at a Padre businessman special, I used to call it back in those days, when Bip Roberts was playing for the Padres. I used to love those. So I would go to the Padre game. They play like a 1 o'clock game on a Thursday. And then I'd go down to the radio station. So I got there, and I would get credentials or whatever, usually when I was doing this. But I was at the game. I was in the elevator. The Chargers at that time, the old San Diego Chargers, practiced at Jack Murphy Stadium. They had their practice facility at the stadium, and I got in the elevator, and Bobby Ross, covered in sweat, had just come off the practice field. And they had practice from like 10 to noon or something like that. And he came off the practice field, and he was in the elevator. It was cool.
Did you talk to him at all?
I said hello, but he wasn't really in a mood to talk.
Oh,
he didn't want to talk. The answer is Adam Gase of the Jets. With the Dolphins, 14-8, his first 22 games. I still remember there was a columnist in Miami that wrote that that he was the next Don Shula after the first handful of games. How inaccurate was that? Wishful thinking. Yeah. Anyway, since then, Adam Gase is 9-20, his teams. That is a .310 winning percentage. That is 35th in the NFL in that span. So week 8 of 2017 to week 4 of this year, his teams are the 35th best or worst, depending on how you look at it.
That is awful. That's Hugh Jackson type of maneuvering for him.
Well, it's better than Hugh Jackson. Hugh would win like 2 games.
That's right. And somehow keep his job somehow.
Yeah, yeah. He had photos of farm animals or whatever. Well, Hugh's a good guy. You know, he's a good guy and all that. Adam Gase, though, that guy's quite the character. What crazy eyes, just a weirdo, right? I mean, he looks like it in these press conferences. I've never met him. Maybe he's normal, but he looks like a weirdo.
God, he was really good in Denver, and all of a sudden just gets hot like everybody else, the offensive coordinators.
No, he wasn't good in that is overblown.
No, he was hot.
He is a product of Peyton Manning.
Oh, there you go.
Being on performance-enhancing drugs from the Geyer Clinic, according to the documentary The Dark Side, which is on YouTube, and you being a Bronco apologist, you blabbermouth over there. No, Adam Gase was great with the Broncos. No, he was not. Peyton Manning... He ought to send a check to Peyton Manning because Peyton licked that guy's toes and said how great he was, and the NFL media took that and celebrated him. I don't think the guy knows what he's doing.
I think he was great. Peyton's Place, which is on ESPN Plus, it's a great feature that has Peyton Manning breaking down plays in the history of the National Football League. He threw 7 touchdowns in that game against Baltimore and their Week 1 performance when he came back from that neck injury. I remember how disgusted you were when you sent me that link to the Geyer Clinic documentary. That thing was just, it was all propaganda. That's all it was.
It was wonderful.
It was nonsense.
And, I recommend it. It's still on YouTube. It's called The Dark Side. It's a documentary about the performance-enhancing drugs of Peyton Manning. He is mentioned there. His wife was, according to the documentary, a drug mule, and they passed the drugs through her, and Peyton was using HGH. And I remember I had somebody tell me when Peyton was injured with the Colts that Jim Irsay was told by his medical people that Peyton would never play again. That this was a career-ending injury, that he had essentially a screw loose in his neck, and he was never going to play again. And that's part of the reason the Colts tanked to get Andrew Luck. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what kind of pixie dust they have at that Geyer Clinic, according to the documentary. Peyton, double nickels. It was insane.
Modern medicine. I love it. Ate well, slept well, had the surgeries, and then he was back at it. So... Yeah, I mean, you hate Peyton Manning.
We got to move on. Tampa Bay 2-2 at New Orleans 3-1. It's on Fox. My former radio colleague Chris Myers has the call, and Daryl Moose Johnson, the Moose. Saints opened a 6.5-point favorite. They are down to 3.5. That's a 3-point line move in favor of confidence for Tampa Bay, and I do not believe this. I don't. Sorry, my guy T.J. Reeves. I'm going to take New Orleans. I'm going to take the Saints here. First of all, the Saints have already done more than I expected without Drew Brees. This is one of the games I had circled they have to win, right? At home against what I believe is a second-rate Tampa Bay team. And you know, New Orleans is lucky because they simply out-competed. Seattle out-competed them, won the stat sheet, out-physicaled them, out-toughed them. And whatnot, and yet they lost because they turned the ball over. And then the Saints, they came back last week, and they were the ones that out-physicaled the Dallas Cowboys and roughed them up and tossed them around and all that and won the game in the trenches. Now, secondly, the Buccaneers are feeling good. They have been celebrated. I did a podcast interview with my man T.J. Reeves this week, who's the Bucs sideline guy, former Fox Sports Radio guy. I love TJ, and he's all excited about the Buccaneers and all that. I don't buy it. All right, Teddy Bridgewater, listen, the opposition here, he's not good, but he has shown that he's not going to make the big mistake here, and Jameis Winston has proven he rarely has back-to-back good games. He painted the Mona Lisa at the Coliseum in Los Angeles and just dethroned, deballed, castrated the Rams. In that game, but also the Buccaneers got 28 points off Ram mistakes. 28 points off turnovers. So the Saints aren't going to do that. They have a pretty good defense. I am a doubting Thomas on Tampa, and it seems like the public is all in. They believe the Buccaneers have figured something out with Bruce Arians. I don't. Saints, 30. Bucks, 20.
Penny going that way as well, going with the Saints.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Saints go marching into the win column. Next up, Atlanta, 1-3. At Houston, 2-6. It's on Fox. Friend of the show, a Maller militia man, Kenny Albert from the NFL on Fox, and Rondé Barber have the call. The line on this game, the Texans opened a 4.5-point favorite. They are favored by 5 in this game. Now, the forecast, it's a retractable roof, but the roof might be open. Mostly sunny, 87 degrees at kickoff at NRG Stadium in Houston. The pick, I'm going to take the Texans. Now, the reason here is mostly a pick against Atlanta. Because not only are the Falcons a horrible team, they are an embarrassment. And I don't know that we can do enough justice to how bad I feel this Falcon team is. Now, I realize they won a game and all that, but the defense is going to provide little resistance to Deshaun Watson. Over the last 3 weeks, Atlanta has the most penalties in the NFL. Not Cleveland, Atlanta. They've been a mistake-filled mess and whatnot. And so I expect Watson to have a bounce-back game here, mainly because there will not be a lot of pressure from Atlanta's defense. And the numbers for Atlanta are not horrific defensively, but the numbers are skewed, and I'll tell you why. Because Kirk Cousins only attempted 10 passes, so the passing stats are not that bad for the Falcons, but I believe they suck. Falcons also recently have been an embarrassment against the AFC. You say, well, it doesn't matter. Every year is different. Every game is different. But this number is disproportionate to reality. Last 12 games Atlanta has played against AFC opponents, they are 1-11. That is the worst interconference winning percentage in the NFL in that stretch. 1-11. And so anyway, listen, Matt Ryan will get some yards. He'll put up some points with Julio Jones. But I just don't believe a mistake-filled, second-rate Falcons team is going to win this game. That Eagle win was a fluke, and Philly should have won that game, but a drop pass by Nelson Aguilar and one of the other players for the Eagles cost them the game. Atlanta is in, they're a dog, but they're a doghouse type. They're living in a doghouse. So I will take, outside of Deshaun Watson shitting the bed here, I'm all in with my Houston Texans, me and Chris in Houston. Texans, 26. Falcons, 17.
Good to see you go that way. Penny's also going with the Texans.
All right, next up, Buffalo, 3-1 at Tennessee, 2-2. It's on CBS. Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta, my former TV friend, they are calling this game. The Titans open a 1-point favorite. Tennessee is favored by 3. The forecast in Nashville at Nissan Stadium with Clay Travis in attendance. Thunderstorms and 76 degrees at kickoff. Isn't Clay a Titans season ticket holder?
I think he is.
He always talks about the Titans way too much.
Volunteers
and
the Titans, yeah.
Because if there's one team that has a national following, it is the Tennessee Titans. But to be fair, I would do the same thing. If I lived in Nashville and was a Titans season ticket holder and did a radio show, I would talk about the Titans a lot. I don't. But anyway, the pick, I'm going to take Buffalo in this game. Now, this is not an attractive matchup. Buffalo is shorthanded. But I'm going to ride the Bills defense because I believe they are too legit to quit. They will find a way here against a wayward Tennessee team. And they will put Marcus Mariota into some awkward lockdown situations. Buffalo held Tom Brady to 9 points of offense last week. The Patriots got a touchdown on special teams, but 9 points of offense from the Patriot offense. And this is a matchup that is a mismatch. The Bills' defense is elite. Their secondary in particular is outstanding. And the Tennessee Titans have a garbage passing game. bad receivers, second-rate receivers. Marcus Mariota is a second-rate quarterback. His numbers are misleading. And Buffalo's also good against the run. So you say, well, Tennessee will just run with Derrick Henry. No, they won't. Not with a lot of success. Now, the main reason people are betting on Tennessee is because the Titans right now are preparing for both Josh Allen and Matt Barkley. And there's a good chance Matt Barkley is going to start because Josh Allen is in the concussion protocol. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm going to go against the public because I don't think it really matters. You know why, Gascon? You know why?
Tell me why.
The reason why, Gascon, is because Matt Barkley is like a waste paper basket kind of guy, but Josh Allen's rotten eggs. So it doesn't matter. I mean, both these guys are inaccurate, so I don't think there's a much of a downgrade whether Barkley plays or Allen plays, and both these guys need some Old Spice deodorant here. The Bills quarterbacks are the flotsam and jetsam of the NFL. So this pick is 100% on defense. Bills 16, Titans 10.
Like the way you're thinking, Penny's going with the Bills as well.
You ever been to Nashville?
I've never been. That's a bucket list. Man, I kid you not, though. Every time I've looked for flights to go to Nashville out of Los Angeles, we're talking about $400 round trip. I can get I can get a cheaper flight heading to New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, D.C., or even Boston compared to Nashville.
Well, that's odd because, Nashville is one of the top hipster cities in the United States. It's the jewel of the South, they call it now. And in addition to that, you also have the fact that a lot of people in the music business in Nashville, the country music business, fly to L.A.
Yeah, but some of the a lot of airline carriers though make stops to get to Nashville.
Oh, so no direct flights?
Yeah, not a lot of direct flights. No,
I flew into I was flying somewhere and I had to fly to Atlanta and then like back. I always hated that.
Yeah,
when you fly past the destination and then come back. I mean, it's so stupid. It's like, you know, it's like I'm going to drive by where I need to be and then drive back to where I need to be. It's like,
That happens here in Los Angeles all the time on the freeway.
Well, that's true. All right, late games, late TV window. Denver, your Broncos, 0-4. How appropriate. You're a fan of an 0-4 team. And the L.A. Chargers at 2-2. It's on CBS. Mr. Burnt Toast, Jim Nance, and Tony Romo have the call here. Now, the line on this game, the Chargers opened a 6.5-point favorite. The line has stayed the same. It'll be sunny and 78 degrees, as it always is in the Los Angeles area, where they're calling now Dignity Health Sports Park. How dumb a name is that, huh?
I don't know, but I want you to say it one more time with your busted tongue.
Dignity Health Sports Park. You like that?
Yeah. That's good.
I like that you are not, you know, a good colleague would have said, you know, Maller, I'm going to talk a little more during Benny versus the Penny because I know you're struggling. You've got a burnt tongue. Not you. Not the asshole that you are. You haven't said, I'm going to jump in and help out because this guy has got, you know, his tongue is loose. He's babbling like a windbag and he's dying and all that stuff. But not Gascon.
No.
Gascon's like, he's a child. He's having a temper tantrum. I don't get to talk enough. Even though I'm allowing you to talk more, dummy.
This is the difference between being injured and being hurt. So right now you're just a little banged up. So keep going.
I'm banged up. I should get a purple medal for working with you.
Shut the hell up.
All right. Listen, the pick is in. I'm going to take the Broncos. I'm going to take the Broncos here. And a couple reasons why. Listen, the Broncos are your classical crappy team. They're bad, but close, right? Four games, I believe they lost by 23 points total. In these four games. So the point spread is too tempting for me to pass up. The Chargers haven't done anything to deserve this big a number. If you look at their body of the work this year, they have not been as good as last year. They had an overtime win against the Colts, a byproduct of Adam Vinatieri missing some kicks, and they lost to the Texans. Phillip Rivers also lost to the Lions as well. And then last week, the Miami game, who cares? The Dolphins aren't an NFL team. They're an amateur team. They're like an intramural team, the Miami Dolphins. And Phillip Rivers, we gave you some of the numbers last week. He has played his worst football overall in the fourth quarter. And I figure this game will be close. Listen, I don't believe Jump Ball Joe's any good, the Bronco quarterback. But I do think this will still be a close game. Division rivals, you're getting almost a touchdown. Plus, the Chargers at Dignity Health Sports Park have no home field advantage. I anticipate, at least if this is like the last couple of years, this will be Mile High Stadium West at sea level. Right? Yes. I mean, there'll be a bunch of Bronco fans there.
That's always the case in the AFC West. Yeah. It's either all Raiders, all Chiefs, or all Broncos.
When the Chargers play. But I'm going to take the Chargers to win but not cover the spread. Another painful, agonizing loss for Gagon's favorite team. Chargers 27, Broncos 23.
Same way as well. Penny going with the Broncos.
All right, next up. Let's see. What do we have here? We've got... Oh, well, let's get trivial. You want to get trivial?
Sure. One more time.
All right. Derek Carr and Jameis Winston have the two worst road records in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season. Who is the third worst behind Derek Carr and Jameis Winston on the road? Okay?
All right.
Think about that. All right. Next up, Green Bay at Dallas. This is the prize of the weekend. Big game on Fox. They will have the top ratings of any game on Sunday. Will be Dallas and Green Bay. Two national followings. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. How much does Joe Buck hate this week? He's got to go from Seattle to Dallas. At least Aikman's going home. He lives in the Dallas area, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he's got Major League Baseball on deck too, though, right?
He's not. As far as I know, he's not leaving this weekend, though. Maybe next week. Doesn't he leave for the NLCS and the World Series, not the first round?
That's right. Yeah, it's true. Because you got TBS and Fox that handle those games.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the game's actually in Arlington, but the Cowboys opened a 4-point favorite. They're favored by 3.5. Partly sunny, 91 degrees. I know they got a roof at AT&T Stadium, but that's the weather outside at kickoff in the Arlington, Texas area. I am going to take the Green Bay Packers here. I got the pack. I don't love the pack, but I got the pack. My main concern is the Packers have been ravaged by injuries here. The big one is the safety blanket for Aaron Rodgers. The only receiver worth his salt is Davante Adams, who's got turf toe. And by the way, he's unlikely to play at the time we're doing this. I've determined, Gascon, that turf toe is like biting your tongue. It's something that shouldn't be a problem, but is a problem. You know? Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's don't bite on pizza too hard. You won't have a turf toe in your mouth. Yes.
It is. Shut up. It is odd to me. One of the weird things, and there's a lot of weird stuff about, you know, life and being human and all that, but some of the very small things that should not be that big a deal that cause a great amount of pain to your body.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, you know, even like little paper cuts can be so annoying, right? A pimple on your ass trying to sit down can be very annoying. Am I wrong?
I've never had that problem, but if you can enlighten us a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Well, that's not what she said, but I've heard that you have had that problem.
So you're looking into my sex life. I appreciate that. But,
well, you've had a lot of partners who like to send me emails occasionally. Let me know whether you're good or bad. Not that I care. It doesn't really affect me. I'm not interested in that. I don't go to that side.
Well, what does the audience say? Is it thumbs up or thumbs down then, since you're getting emails on me?
You're like a hollow bunny. Good on the outside, but not on the inside.
Oh man!
Hey. All right, listen. I'm taking Green Bay. We got to pick up the pace on this. We're taking way too long. The main concern here is the injury to Davante Adams, as I said, and the Packers have been exposed defensively. They are 29th in the NFL in allowing yards per carry at 5 yards per carry. It's even worse lately. The Philadelphia game was atrocious. That is a red flag. Obviously, Dallas is a run-heavy team here. They are at home looking to bounce back. That's all good stuff. It's also a Randall Cobb revenge game, former Packer now with the Cowboys. But the main reason, there's two things I like that I'm going to take Green Bay. I'm betting against Dak Prescott, who has morphed into the guy he had been last year. After that fast start, he has regressed. In fact, the last 2 weeks against better competition, and he has been unable to take advantage. He is the 24th ranked quarterback, and his passer rating is 82.1. He was really bad. He was the reason the Cowboys lost the game in New Orleans. He and Zeke Elliott. Zeke didn't play well either, and I expect Zeke to have a big game here. But, listen, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers, better quarterback, although he hasn't played better lately, but better quarterback than Dak Prescott, throwing, I don't care if it's the Keystone Cops and Barnum and Bailey's Clown College, catching passes, but you're getting getting Aaron Rodgers. There's a Freudian slip. Aaron Rodgers against Dak Prescott and over a field goal. You got that hook, that 3.5. Cowboys secondary, not that good. I believe Dallas is overvalued here. There's always a lot of Cowboy money. Cowboys are one of the most popular teams in the NFL. So I think it's overstated where the Cowboys actually are. So I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers 30 and the Dallas Cowboys 27.
Penny likes the home team in this one. Going with the Cowboys.
Hey, by the way, here's a fun fact. The quarterbacks the Dallas Cowboys have beaten this year to get those three wins are a combined 0-7. Oh. And Eli Manning has already been benched. And Case Keenum, some saying he will be benched this weekend. They're claiming he's hurt, but some think he's just being benched. So... wow. All right, let's get trivial. The answer, we mentioned Derek Carr and Jameis Winston have the two worst road records in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season. Who is the third worst quarterback? Wins and mother blanking losses on the road.
How about Matt Ryan, the Atlanta Falcons?
Not bad. Matt Ryan is a standout at home and normally looks like he's at the bar in a gutter outside the bar. When he plays on the road, it's some watering hole, but it's not. The correct answer, this blew me away. It was counter what I just said. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
The last 13 road games that Aaron Rodgers has played in and started, Green Bay is 3-10.
Oh, shit.
Only Derek Carr, 4-14, and Jameis Winston have had worse records on the road the last 3 years. That's at least 10 road starts. But how do you explain that, man?
That's why Mike McCarthy's gone.
Well, it hasn't gotten much better this year, though.
No, it hasn't. They don't have a lot of weapons anyway, so.
Yeah, but this is one of those things. I often use this line when I do these stupid monologues at night, but the legend of Liberty Valance, right? And the line on this is that when the legend becomes the fact, you go with the legend, right? And the legend of Aaron Rodgers is this guy is wonderful. It's also the other thing, which is pretty much another way of saying the man who shot Liberty Valance, is the Tinkerbell effect. You know what the Tinkerbell effect is?
No, enlighten me.
If enough people believe hard enough that like fairies exist, right? If enough people believe that fairies exist, they do. Right? Because enough people believe it. Rodgers is... But I'm picking him. I'm an idiot. I'm picking him.
Well, at least it's not the Miami Dolphins or the Cincinnati Bengals you're backing this week, so it's all good.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, next up, Sunday Night Football in Indianapolis, 2-2 at Kansas City. And they come into this game 4-0. It's on NBC with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth calling the game. Chiefs opened up an 8.5-point favorite. They are an 11-point favorite at Arrowhead. The forecast in Kansas City calls for a 57-degree weather at kickoff. And I'm going to take the Colts to cover. I like the Colts to keep this game close. Indy got caught looking ahead. First of all, they lost to the Raiders. That was a peekaboo situation. Now, what is the first rule of the peekaboo? If you get caught peeking ahead and you don't win the game, it does happen. It is imperative that you win the game you were circling and looking ahead to. So this is now. I don't believe they'll actually win the game. I think they'll just keep it close. And Jacoby Brissett, while he hasn't been great, he has held his own, and he's tied for the NFL lead in touchdown passes with Lamar Jackson, and has actually been better than Patrick Mahomes throwing touchdown passes the first four games of the year. Listen, the Colts are dinged up. T.Y. Hilton's got a bad quad. Malik Hooker, the great defensive player, has got a knee injury. Marlon Mack is battling an ankle injury. Some of those guys might not play. I believe Mac will play, but they're all in the injury tent with varying degrees of problems. But the second thing here, I'm going to go back to Mahomes. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, he was a mere mortal last week against Matt Patricia and the Lions. And as my friend Bob Fesco, the great morning guy in Kansas City, I go on with him every Thursday now on 610 Sports in KC. And he brought up an interesting point that I did not think about. And we were talking about Matt Patricia. And Matt Patricia is really the guy that solved the Rams quarterback, Jared Goff. Up until playing Matt Patricia's defense, Jared Goff was a top-notch, top-10 quarterback in the NFL. And ever that's a point of demarcation. Ever since then, Matt Patricia, the rocket scientist, cooked something up, and everyone's been copying that, and Jared Goff has sucked pretty much the entire time. And so Bob brought up a good point. Did Matt Patricia give the formula, the secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices to slow down Patrick Mahomes? Now, we won't know that for a couple more weeks to see if see how this goes. But Mahomes had an 80.8 passer rating and a 7.4 yards per attempt, which is very, very pedestrian. He has lost a bunch of yards overall this year on penalties and whatnot. But I expect Indy to mimic the blueprint of Matt Patricia this week. Anytime you get over a touchdown with two good teams, and I believe the Colts are good, not great. The Chiefs are a great team. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win but not cover. Kansas City, 34. Indianapolis, 24.
Penny likes you too. We'll go with the Colts. Last one.
Are we allowed? I guess we can't mention the thing that you don't want to mention on the air, what you'll be doing on Sunday.
No, definitely not. We'll wait till next week.
All right. Look at that. Vow of silence there. Monday Night Football. Cleveland 2-2 at Santa Clara 3-0. It's on ESPN with Booger McFarland and Joe Tessitore. What a hardo he is, right? I mean, come on. I mean, hardo is like Tessitore is like the definition of every cliche about a sportscaster. Like, I watched Joe Tessitore, and I think I'm watching a parody on Saturday Night Live of how a play-by-play guy should be. I mean, sure, he's a nice enough guy and all that, but he is such a cliche-filled machine.
Do you feel like Jim Lampley's like that, or at least he used to be?
Well, I will never say that. I love Lampley. I did a radio show with Lampley one time.
Yeah.
I love Lamps.
But, I do too.
I haven't heard him call a game in a long time anyway. He doesn't do that anymore, right?
No, he doesn't. But I'm just referring to boxing matches and professional
boxing.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way he calls a match, but people crush him all the time on social media.
Oh, yeah. Well, he gets the Joe Buck treatment, because they think he's siding with one of the fighters.
Yeah.
Like, people think Joe Buck is I think he's a Cardinal fan because his dad, when the Dodgers and Cardinals play. Like, that could be the NLCS matchup this year.
That's right.
Not to get off the reservation, but we could have Cardinals and Dodgers in the NLCS, and Joe Buck is like a Cardinal broadcaster. Not that he really is, not anymore, but anyway, 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite in this game. It is sunny and 79 degrees at kickoff. Late afternoon, early evening at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. The pick is in. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns in this game. The 49ers are coming off a bye week. So, my theory, I like the human psychology of gambling. My theory is that the 49ers have been regaled in how good they are, and they are basking in the afterglow of that 3-0 start. Right? Plus, this is another one of those peekaboo situations. Who do the 49ers play next week? Who do they have, Gascon, on their schedule? You know?
They have the LA Rams.
That is correct. Yep. That is a big game. I actually might go to this game. I don't know. I might go to the Rams.
Well, 49ers. I don't know if you're going to be allowed to get in since you got denied last week, but we won't talk about that today on this national podcast.
Wow, you are... What a passive-aggressive asshole. I mean, my God.
Do not pass go. Do not collect your $200. Do you realize the Rams cost you an injured tongue, and you did not even acknowledge that on the radio?
That's a good point. If I had gone to the Rams game, I likely would not have bitten into my tongue, and I would have been fine. I didn't realize that. So I should pull against the Rams from now on because they injured my tongue, and... The funny thing, Gascon, I've had this tongue injury all week. I have done extra side work in addition to the show. I did TJ Reeves' podcast. I did like a 20-minute block on his podcast. I did my radio spot in Kansas City. I did turn down one in Miami because I didn't want to do it. I was like, too much. But I've done like so much extra stuff. What am I doing?
Did you go down under too with Darcy?
Yeah, I was on in New Zealand on Monday night with Darcy Waldegrave. Yeah, and that was wild. That's but anyway, real quick, I'm going to wrap this up. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been anything special. He hasn't had a lot of problems. The receivers for the 49ers have only had two errors, according to the advanced statistics of the NFL that they provide us. Garoppolo is right in the middle of the bell curve. Hadn't been terrible, but he's 15th in the NFL. Which isn't all that good. The Browns, this is odd. They have scored only 26 points in two home games, both losses, but have scored 63 points in two road games, both of them wins against the Jets and the Ravens. Baker Mayfield had a coming out party for 2019 last week in Baltimore. He was marvelous. The Browns, though, Nick Chubba-lub-lub on the ground, wonderful. Can we have an encore? Now, I'm picking the Browns as a live underdog. The thing that scares me is geography. And going out to the West Coast, your biorhythms get messed up and all that. But this is a primetime game. Odell Beckham normally is the center of attention in these primetime games. I expect him to make a couple of big plays. Cleveland's defense, even though they're banged up, and that is a factor here, who plays and who doesn't play, the backups did a pretty good job last week against Lamar Jackson. So I am still confident in Cleveland. I feel like they have the better defense, and I'd rather have Baker Mayfield than Garoppolo. If Mayfield plays the way he did last week, he's the better quarterback. You're getting over a field goal. Close teams. I don't think there's much separating the Browns and 49ers. Cleveland, 27. Santa Clara, 26.
Penny going with the tongue and the Browns.
All right, there it is. Benny versus the Penny. Week 5 is in the book. Thank you for being loyal to this podcast. Thank you for subscribing to this podcast. Thank you for telling friends to listen to the podcast and to download the podcast. And thank you for forcing your kids to download it, your grandparents, your neighbors, your barbers, your gardeners, the people in your lives that you are around. I appreciate that. It does help. Every download helps. And maybe we'll even get some sponsors, Gascon, that we can do live reads. That would be fun, right?
Yeah, we're not asking for a whole lot, but yeah, you can always contact us and email you or tweet.
And just a disclaimer, because I got an email this week saying, oh, I'm going to bet every one of your games this week. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, this podcast is designed to give you advice. You shouldn't use it as the gospel. Now, if you agree with me, my advice has always been over the years, if I handicap a game, and my thoughts line up with your thoughts, then you should bet the game. But there's no way on God's green earth that you're going to agree with all of these picks. But anyway, there it is. Thank you, Gascon.
You bet. I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Have a great weekend and enjoy yourself. We'll be back on the radio Sunday night into Monday.